This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis, and our special guest, Roger Veer. Roger Veer and his new book that we have been waiting on, Hijacking Bitcoin. Hijackingbitcoin.com. Check it out, because you're going to get the information that nobody else is telling you what's really going on with the people's money. And there's a lot of alternatives out there. No better, tell us what's up, than Roger Veer. Let's continue our conversation with Roger Veer, hijackingbitcoin.com.
The amount of people that are using Bitcoin for payments online is becoming a smaller and smaller percentage of overall cryptocurrencies, because now I think I just saw a press release, BitPay, I think they added another like 160 additional cryptocurrencies you can pay with now at BitPay. So it's just really, really disappointing to see this beautiful first mover advantage that Bitcoin had be destroyed, so that Blockstream can sell their sidechains products and try and charge a fee on everybody that's using their product to fix the problems that they caused intentionally with Bitcoin.
Well, I apologize. Where are we now with Bitcoin? What is it? Is it? I mean, it just seems GoldmanSucks.gov coin. I don't know what else to call it. I mean, where are we at? What is it? Who's it serving now?
Yeah, I think it's just serving the traditional financial players, right? It's just as coin that people are speculating on, the speculation of future speculators. Everyone's saying, oh, buy the ETF and this and that. And like, yeah, the number's gone up quite a bit, but it would have gone up way the heck more if people had been able to continue using it for commerce in payments, because you would have had all that plus all the other stuff that's going on. And so another one of my favorite economists there, Frederick Bastiat, said you have to look at what's seen and what's not seen. And everybody today is just focusing on what's seen, but what's not seen is all the adoption we missed out on, because Bitcoin wound up intentionally being disrupted, so it no longer had a good user experience for people. So if it had continued to have a good user experience, it would have been even better off. And the easiest to see example of that is a website I've been booking most of my travel on for years and years and years, was Expedia.com. In 2017, I was really excited when they started accepting, they accepted it even earlier. They started accepting Bitcoin in, I don't know, maybe 2015 or 16. And then in 2017, they stopped accepting Bitcoin because the blocks became full, the transactions became slow, expensive, and unreliable. And here we are in 2024 now. Expedia still doesn't accept cryptocurrency, so that's a fantastic example. And there were a bunch of websites. Microsoft used to accept Bitcoin. They stopped when the blocks became full. Steam stopped when the blocks became full. And there were thousands and thousands, or maybe even more, businesses that were using Bitcoin, and when the blocks became full, which caused the transactions to become slow, expensive, and unreliable, they stopped, because nobody wants to use something that's slow, expensive, and unreliable. They'd rather use something fast, cheap, and reliable.
So what was their argument? Yeah, we're doing it because why?
their argument is basically that, oh, if we limit the block size, then people in, you know, sub-Saharan Africa with a dial-up 2400 baud modem will still be able to run a full Bitcoin node and validate all the transactions in the network. But that was never, ever, ever the design for Bitcoin from day one. People weren't intended to run a full node. Only businesses that had a reason to would run full nodes. Everybody else would just use a lightweight wallet, which is what most people even today are still using. Like, they strangled Bitcoin. Most people today are not running full nodes. People are just running, you know, light clients, which is what the plan was to begin with. So the reality of the matter is they strangled Bitcoin so that they could sell a product to solve the problem that they caused with the slow, expensive, and unreliable transactions on Bitcoin, and probably did it also to help out their buddies that, you know, have the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency and all the other governments around the world that love having people use their fiat currencies rather than a free market-issued money.
Well, they go on about the terrorists, you know, using terrorists and terrorists to terrorism. And I'm going, yeah, they use, you know, dollar, you know, usually. I mean, when we go after that, it's just all the arguments. Here's a big argument. They're going, well, it's gold. You don't spend gold, do you? You need to do, like, silver and stuff for transactions. Gold is for retention of wealth, and, you know, hedge funds buy it and kind of whatever. Bitcoin. So they're going, it's a store of value, not a currency. And I'm going, the fact that it was a currency was its value, you morons. You know, so it's, and they go, everybody always asks, so what's the intrinsic value of Bitcoin? You know, what cryptocurrency, what is it? And I go, I can tell you exactly what it is. It's how much gold and silver you're willing to give up for its features. That's what it's worth. And the features of cryptocurrency, the way it originally was promised to all us libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist, leave me alone as people, we were like, man, this is it. This is awesome. But we paralleled it with silver. You know, we always, you know, I got a bunch of profit. I get to buy me some more silver. I mean, you know, so, and crypto was my silver moving mechanism. You know, you liquidate the silver in this country and the crypto, you know, then you kind of easily bring it with you and you repurchase silver in Uruguay if you wanted to do that, you know. So it is so powerful what it does and how fast. Give me an idea of the speed of a transaction in Bitcoin Cash. I go in and I say, all right, I want to buy that. Boom. I push the button. What are we talking about?
And if you go, you can go and get any Bitcoin Cash wallet, but make sure it's a real wallet, not an account. Bitcoin.com's wallet is fantastic. Electron Cash is another fantastic one. And so let's say you're sending from Bitcoin.com to Electron Cash. So two totally separate wallets, not from the same company, just connected to the Bitcoin Cash network. Half a second, it's almost instant, right? Like you hit send on one, sometimes before the phone that you're hitting send on, before it's done giving you a notification that sent the transaction, you'll already be getting notification on the other wall that the money's been received. It's basically instant. And the transactions are irreversible as well, which is how it used to be on Bitcoin. The transactions used to be basically instant and irreversible. They are now reversible for sometimes as long as 2 weeks on average.
What? And, when did that happen?
I think it was 2015, they changed the way Bitcoin worked, where the transactions, once you were broadcast, that used to be the end of it, and they implemented this thing called replaced by fee, which meant that any time until the transaction's been included in a block, you could basically do a chargeback by paying a higher fee, and then the transactions used to always be included at the next block, which was 10 minutes on average, but when the blocks became full, now you have this transaction backlog where it was taken at the end of 2017. More than 2 weeks on average for a transaction to be included in a block, which meant you had more than 2 weeks to do a chargeback, right? Who's going to use a currency on the internet where you have more than 2 weeks to do a chargeback? How can any merchant sell anything?
Okay, wait. I thought that replaced by transaction fee thing was a bug. You're telling me they made that a feature that was on purpose?
It was on purpose to disrupt Bitcoin from being useful for payments online. So Bitcoin Cash absolutely does not have that and never will have that. And Bitcoin didn't have that from its invention until I think they finally forced that through in maybe 2015. I'd have to check my history books there to see exactly what you have, 2015 or 16, I would guess. And sure enough, it made it way, way less useful for commerce. And you had every single person that was using for Bitcoin for payments, they were arguing against it. Don't do this replaced by fee thing. That makes Bitcoin less useful. One of the selling points of Bitcoin were these instant, irreversible transactions.
Shoehorning.
They got rid of that.
Shoehorning in the legacy banking system. You could just smell it all over the place. Well,
and
this was
charge of fee for all the chargebacks.
So are you in the book? Do you come out and say Bitcoin's useless? Why are you guys doing Bitcoin? It's already been captured. It's over. Pick something else. Bitcoin Cash is fine, whatever. But Bitcoin is done. You know, now, of course, it gets all the news, and a lot of the others kind of follow the coattails of whatever Bitcoin is. But all I see is, you know, ETF or industrial or institutional investment of hedge fund of we're going to whatever crap, you know, or countries doing, you know, I have no idea, you know, why. I don't care. So just Bitcoin, that ship sailed. It's over. It's done. I don't care. So the others, Bitcoin, my primary one, when I do, see, that's one thing. I spend way more than I want to. It's so easy to spend it, more difficult to get it. You know, I'm just like, that sucks. And I go, Paul Play comes on regularly, you know, from Edge Wallet. And I go, I tell you what feature I need. You know, you got this banking thing I can buy and sell and go through my bank account and whatever. I said, you know, if you had an automatic that it would repurchase whatever I spend plus 10% or something, every time I spend a dollar, I get $1.10 back in Bitcoin Cash, and you would automatic, you know, put that in that wallet, I'm your new best friend, okay? You do that, and I might link it up a little bit and let the man know that I, you know, bought a little bit over here or something. But other than that, I really have no other feature that I want other than, you know, self-control of, you know, just sending them cash in an envelope. But it's so easy to use crypto, certainly in the Liberty community, that what is the easiest way to purchase it? You know, how do you do it?
Pretty much all of my income is in cryptocurrency at this point, and almost all of my expenses are in cryptocurrency. So the easiest way is to just earn it. And so, you know, everybody that, you know, is working for me too, they get paid in cryptocurrency. Using it as money is the goal. I try to use banks to the least extent that I possibly can at this point. But to answer your previous question, like in the book, no, I don't go and say Bitcoin is done, Bitcoin is useless. But I do point out that the thing that everybody's calling Bitcoin today is a new project. It's not the Bitcoin that became popular to begin with, and that Bitcoin was hijacked, because I don't think most people realize it yet. And I think it's really important that that word gets out there and that people know that the thing that everyone's calling Bitcoin today isn't the original design or plan or goal of Bitcoin at all, and that a bunch of people using censorship and propaganda and lies and dirty tricks hijacked the product, and that's where it is today, and that's why it's all covered in the book with citations at every step of the way.
Hijackingbitcoin.com, Roger Ver sitting, showed you and said it, and there it is, and that's the history, so saith Roger. Well, so saith me, because if Roger, you know, that's one thing, we talk about this a lot, the future, and any kind of information, you know, the future is credibility. Who are you going to believe? Because you're going to have an AI that's going to convince you, man. They're going to want to tell you what's up. But the it's who do you believe? So I'm like, all right, well, who do I believe in the crypto space? Is Bitcoin Cash, do I believe? Are you a believer? Or you have the same problems and all of a sudden, you know, these guys run over there and take over. So who do you believe? Where's the credibility in the crypto space, Roger?
I think the credibility is in each and every individual themselves. Go out there and make a Bitcoin transaction and make sure you're actually making a transaction, not just using some custodian account to transfer, you know, balances from one PayPal account to another. And then go and make a real Bitcoin Cash transaction, and you'll see there is no doubt in anybody's mind whatsoever. Bitcoin Cash transactions are faster, cheaper, more reliable, and easier to use than a Bitcoin transaction. And that's just the truth of the matter, and that's why they need all the censorship and propaganda and Twitter attacks to try and convince people otherwise, because anybody that goes and tries both themselves can see very, very clearly Bitcoin Cash and most other cryptocurrencies, Dogecoin and Litecoin and a whole bunch of others, work far, far better than Bitcoin does nowadays, and that's because Bitcoin was hijacked, and the whole story is told right there in hijackingbitcoin.com.
All right, you mentioned Dogecoin. I while all the guys making fun of me and so on, when I knew, I go, all right, Doge is going to be Mars money. You can buy Teslas with it, and you got to go, it's going to have some usage, and it was 3 cents at the time, you know, 3.6. So I got me a sufficient quantity to, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden now, you know, go, I don't know, what, 15, 17, 18 cents or something, it went up. And I'm going, ooh, that's good. But I haven't sold any. I don't trade cryptos or whatever. I'm now, instead of using it, sometimes I get a $100, $200 here and there just because it's easy, damn it, you know, for a lot of people in the Liberty community. But Doge, what do you think the future of that is? Because I didn't get the impression that Doge was, it's not limited. You know, how many Doge there can be. It has like a daily inflation or something. Explain to me how it works. Does it really have a future and why?
Yeah, I'm not the, you know, the world's, I'm not Dogecoin Jesus or anything like that. But if you look at it, the inflation rate for Dogecoin is less than Bitcoin. The transactions are faster, cheaper, and more reliable than Bitcoin. And if you look at the arguments that Elon Musk was busy making in favor of Dogecoin, they're all the exact same arguments in favor of Bitcoin Cash. They're the same arguments. So Dogecoin, as far as using it as a transactional currency, far, far better than BTC Bitcoin. So, yeah, more power to all the Dogecoin fans out there in the world.
What's going to happen to Bitcoin?
I think it's the incumbent, and it's the brand name that everybody knows. And, like, I don't know, like just like Kleenex, right? Everybody, I have a box of Kleenex over there. It turns out this box is actually made by the Kleenex company, but I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other companies that are selling tissues, and they call them Kleenexes even though it's by a different company.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of things that people will just call, you know, Bitcoin or crypto, and maybe it was based off of Bitcoin in some way, shape, or form, but it's not going to be the top dog forever because it doesn't work as well as other cryptocurrencies out there. I think it'll just be like Coke. That's for an even better example. Coca-Cola, everybody calls every, you know, soft drink a Coke, but it's not all necessarily Coca-Cola. So I think we'll see the same sort of thing.
Well, is that the only reason? I mean, you know, you have, you know, they bring in new Coke. Yeah, you know, nobody liked that. I mean, you know, it's kind of, they turned, you know, Bitcoin into new Coke. You know, I was like, you know, wow, really? See, what is driving the space? Is it philosophy? Is it just profit? Is it money? Is it, you know, because in the early days, this was not, you know, perceived. I mean, it could have been freaking by NSA or China or whatever, who the hell knows. But maybe Roger knows and he'll tell us. But the, you know, it being done, when we looked at it, I remember us spending a lot of shows and a lot of time. You go to Declare Your Independence at ErnestHancock.com, and you go down the right side, and it has shows by guest, shows by topic. And you go into cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or any of the big players' names, you go and you'll see a bunch of shows. And we documented a lot of this stuff that you're talking about in your book as it was happening. And I could see a trend. And the trend was who could infiltrate and control it or not control it. That was the battle. And money talks, man. The boys come in. Yeah, who's paying your develop? Well, we got money to pay develop. We're going to pay. We'll pay. We're all going to make some money. No, we're going to make it. No, we want to do it. Then you get into, you know, Craig stuff. I mean, it doesn't matter. The point was, is that the philosophy, as we look here with Roger and his books that he recommends, this was what we were looking at before. This is what we were solving. This is what we saw as the future. This abundance of technology and free trade and everybody being able to be in the market, whether you got a satellite connection and you're a 13-year-old kid selling, you know, video time of watching their village in the Congo. I mean, everything was possible. And we can get into things like Perse.ai. You know, that was a good example of how it could be used. Describe Perse for the people of how important that was. Is that even around anymore?
Yeah, so actually they sold, and there's a new company that's a competitor that's out. And, in fact, the link to buy the Hijacking Bitcoin book with crypto goes to the new website. I want to say it's called Bitcoin. I haven't used it as much as I used Perse.io in the past, but Perse.io was a really interesting way to allow people anywhere in the world to use their cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin Cash later to buy anything on Amazon. So there were lots of people out there in the world that had Amazon gift cards but didn't want anything from Amazon. They would buy the product that you want. You would receive it direct from Amazon. They would get your crypto. It was a win-win situation. Everybody was happy. But just maybe 6 or 9 months ago, they sold the whole business to something else that they're pivoting to do something else at this point. But I really loved that website. It was a great way to use Bitcoin. But you can spend Bitcoin Cash directly now at Newegg.com and Tiger Direct and a bunch of other websites as well out there. So,
well, my experience with Perse, it went like this. You go in and you say, I make a wish list on Amazon. I go to Amazon. I want this, this. A good example. It was Donna's birthday 1 year, and I had some time. I had an extra month or two so I could take the time to save some money because you get things at a discount doing this. So what I would do is I go, it was a painting thing. You know, the wood easel. She's going to be Van Gogh. I got everything. So it wound up being, I don't know, $400 or $500. So they were doing paint night and stuff. So I said, this would be a cool present. So I go in and say, you know, round up $500. So $500, and I do the wish list. Then I take that URL, the wish list, and I put it in the purse.io. Then people that get either paid, they got Amazon gift cards, or a lot of people, they work for Amazon creditor money in, you know, data centers around the world or something. I don't know how they get paid doing that, and they save on taxes, whatever the heck was going on. So there are people with Amazon credits that they look at your wish list and then your reputation that you're not a scumbag. Plus, it's crypto, so, you know, even scumbags can use it. So what they did is they go, all right, I will buy this, and you have Prime, so you get free delivery. They would purchase it. It would come to you as you put in escrow your crypto. Well, when it came and it showed delivery, 24 hours after that, I think they just released it. Or these guys are emailing, hey, man, I showed it got delivered. You better hurry up and get home from work and pay me. You know, push the button or whatever, you know. So what would happen is I would get it. Then, boom, it would release it, and they get the crypto. But you could set how much of a discount you wanted. It started at like 15%. You could get up to 30, 40% off because people wanted the crypto more than they wanted the cash. So you would put in, and if you were willing to wait, you can put 20, 25% up there and just sit on your butt and wait. And a month later, all of a sudden, boom, it was done. You got your stuff. You got a big discount. And everybody's happy because they wanted the crypto more than they wanted the fiat. That's how it worked. And I'm going, this is freaking, and it shows you one thing. It shows you that crypto was more valuable than these fiat money. And that was neon flashing obvious to everybody in the free market. So when you see that example, you know that they're destined to go, man. They're more than happy to take your crypto because it was easier to use. It always has been, except for Bitcoin. I mean, they just really jacked that up on purpose. What do you think is the motivation? As you describe it in hijacking Bitcoin, they did this because, you know, you keep saying they made it, you know, unusable and higher transactions, longer time, all that kind of stuff. But why? You know, you get a motivated, they're being paid by the man? You know, is there some, they got stock in some other alternative stuff? Why? What was the motivation for a lot of these coders that you would see? You go to these different Bitcoin conferences and so on, you get eight guys sitting in a corner on the floor with their $4,000 laptops or $8,000 laptops, sitting there banging it out and everything, and you could see them come. We would give them, you know, PiratesWithoutBorders.com books to say, you know, philosophy here, man, you know, give me a back door or something. He's coming. You see that guy? Oh, he doesn't have his tie on, but he got his, you know, $2,000 suit walking over here, and he's going, ooh, you want a babe? Hookers? Blow? Green fees? BMW? No, you come enslave the people for me, and then, it'll all be yours.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA News update. The trial for former President Trump's New York hush money case is set to start next month. Jury selection is scheduled to begin on April 15th, despite defense attempts to postpone or dismiss the case, which were rejected by the judge. An Israeli delegation has canceled its visit to Washington following the U.S. decision not to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the decision Monday, stating that the resolution failed to include a condition for the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. The National Park Service is being sued for not accepting cash payments at parks across the U.S. Three people filed a lawsuit earlier this month claiming the Park Service is breaking federal law by not accepting cash for entry to various monuments, parks, and historic sites. The trio filed the lawsuit after their cash was rejected in Arizona, Georgia, and New York. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis, where we're interviewing Roger Ver. Roger Ver has written the book HijackingBitcoin.com, which goes into the details of how, when, where, by whom. It was very interesting to watch this happen live as we would go to many seminars and summits and conventions. You could see what was going on. Well, he details it. And I'll tell you, those wanted to make sure the young entrepreneurial coding people of philosophy or people with just capability were getting paid the big bucks to be able to enslave us all while we had a technology that would have freed us. Do we still have a chance? Are there other alternatives out there? Well, let's find out with our conversation with Roger Ver, HijackingBitcoin.com. He's coming. You see that guy? Oh, he doesn't have his tie on, but he got his, you know, $2,000 suit walking over here. And he's going, ooh, you want a babe? Hookers? Blow? Green fees? BMW? No, you come enslave the people for me, and then it'll all be yours. Well, some of these guys knew to stay away from that, but a lot of them didn't. And I'm just wondering, you know, what the real justification or reason they would give these programmers that they were doing good or just getting paid to do bad. What was the selling point for them to make this change in Bitcoin?
Yeah, the clearest one was for this company called Blockstream that had a product called Liquid Sidechain. And every single transaction that happens on Liquid, they receive a fee. So what these people, they literally went out there and damaged Bitcoin and broke Bitcoin so it couldn't work. Before that, there was no need for their Liquid product. But once they broke Bitcoin, suddenly now everybody had a demand for their Liquid product. They can earn money directly from that. But it's the same sort of thing. If you go and see a lawyer, the lawyer's going to tell you, yeah, you need a lawyer. You better hire a lawyer. If you see a doctor, they'll say, yeah, you need a doctor. You see a car mechanic, they'll say, yeah, your car needs working on. Like,
right.
The same thing with a lot of these software engineers. They had a bunch of money from people that said, oh, we better do some software engineering. And, like, my point of view is, like, if something's not broken, don't fix it. And Bitcoin was working amazingly well. We have the economic formula that was working incredibly well. Don't change that. But these people successfully managed to change that and hijack all of Bitcoin. It's laid out right there in the book, hijackingbitcoin.com.
I'm sorry. I don't want to run over your commercial there. We'll do this. You know, as my payment. There, go hijackingbitcoin.com. This is, even if you don't have time.
And buy any of the philosophy books that I had on my own webpage at rogerbeer.com, like buy anything by Murray Rothbard or Lysander Spooner or any of those guys, and you will absolutely see the world more clearly.
Well,
and better understand the philosophy behind Bitcoin, too.
Well, does that enter into your book? Do you use a lot of that philosophy as you go through your book?
No, I think the book's actually rather dry and just outlined, dry in the sense that like it's not going into the underlying philosophy, it's just going on pointing out step by step by step how Bitcoin was subverted from being this tool to empower individuals around the world to have the control of their own money without diving deeply into the philosophy at all. But it just points out how these people literally hijacked the entire project, and the thing that's called Bitcoin today isn't the Bitcoin that got things started.
What is the next thing? You know, someone from your perspective that understands and sees the fulfillment of a free market currency that could be used digitally, that was on the internet. That's the only difference. Before it was precious metals or commodities or whatever. I got, you know, this, and you want it more than the thing that I want that you got, and we're done. You know, everybody says thank you, and you're done. Well, doing it online and the convenience of digital purchasing and everything, that had to be... Because I remember when I first started doing radio in 2003, we were accepting e-gold. You know, that was a big thing.
I was an e-gold user as well. So
yeah, no, we were pushing that.
And I'm sure you remember what happened to it. As soon as it got popular enough, the U.S. government came in and stole all the physical gold, and all of us e-gold account holders lost everything. And that's what part of what attracted me to Bitcoin so much, because I realized, oh, I can hold the Bitcoin myself, and I don't have to worry about the U.S. government coming in and stealing all the Bitcoin until today, now when I do, because everybody has to use a custodian for it.
Did you put any e-gold reference in your book?
Yeah, I think we do mention e-gold in the beginning of the book. I have to go back and check for
it. You know, this is how I remember it. It was one of my IT guys at the time. He goes, "Yeah, we you start radio back in 2003. We were, on the radio station out of Scottsdale, and we're saving everything, every word I ever did online. Kind of, yeah, MP3. MP what? What the hell is an MP3? Okay. So we're doing MP3. Then we did the e-gold for donations from, libertarians, same kind of stuff that went on with crypto. And the reason is that Wired Magazine had did a big article on e-gold and mentioned libertarian. Oh, my God. And this is back in, I don't know if it was before 9/11 or not, but it was around that time. Well, what happened was they would have gold in reserve set, in a pile somewhere. And I think it started in London or something like that. Whoa, we got to get out of here. So they go and they keep it at the customs area. It's kind of in, out, whatever, at the Dubai airport. Okay? So it was in Dubai, I think it was, right? So they had the actual cash or the gold there, and you would electronically trade it in whatever form that it was done. Well, when the man didn't want that to happen, they go to Dubai and say it's ours now. We got, you know, this here gun and whatever, and they confiscated everything. And then it took like a decade or more before they actually we finally got some of it back. You know, but I mean, okay,
congratulations! I never got mine back ever. I didn't jump through all the hoops for I had maybe $3,000 worth or something, and like they made it take like a decade, literally.
Well, it was the IT guy that did it. You know, I told him, I said, for helping and doing the show, I'll raise this, and that's your payment. Well, just out of principle, you know, he went through because he's an attorney and has a master's in computer science and Libertarian Party chairman, and I mean, so he's one of us. Well, what happened was he went through the process just to go through the process, and he finally got something. He's like, woo, I got like nothing back. So it was an attack on the ability to digitally spend and buy gold. And they, but you had to have the physical somewhere. Well, if it's somewhere, they gonna come get it, you know? They want, that was the difference with cryptocurrency. There was nothing but a number that you could tattoo on your dog's lip or something. I mean, remember it, or brain wallets they had. You could remember phrases. There's all kinds of different ways that you can manage your money yourself. It got so bad that after I had given a bunch out to people over a few years that all of a sudden I get calls from friends and kids and stuff, and they go, you remember that bit? Well, I turned in my phone, and I lost what I did. I go, didn't I tell you about this? Didn't I tell you to write down your see all that kind of, I made them do it while we were sitting there. Well, where's that paper? Oh, I lost it. I got, you know, is there a Bitcoin customer service? And I go, no, there's not. You are the customer service. So Doug Hodges, which has Phoenix Crypto, he and I were talking about it, and I go, Bitcoin customer service or customer services, we raced and I won to get that domain. I got Bitcoin customers, I just forwarded it to him or whatever. But, you know, I have that, and I bet you that's going to be worth something someday or not. You know, who gives a crap about Bitcoin anymore? But the thing is that there is a responsibility that you have as an individual to be in control of your value, your wealth. Your, what do you call Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash? It is money, storage of wealth.
I call it value. Money.
What?
I call it money. Money is a storage of wealth, right? I call it money.
Well, if it can be used as money, Bitcoin can't be used as money anymore. So I don't even check. I don't even care. You know, I'm in totally in another area. Do you transact in Bitcoin that much, or are you converting, or you just like planning?
Almost never
or what?
In Bitcoin. But almost never in Bitcoin, but daily in Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, that's what I suggest, you know, to people, because you want them to have a good experience. You don't want them all of a sudden they spend it, and all of a sudden they got $50 trans. What the heck just happened? I'm going, you know, just Bitcoin Cash. Why? Because it works. That's the only thing I gotta say. Because it works. It works as it was intended. What is the future abundance thing that you're? Not just in technology, I'm sure you're experienced in where you live, what countries to go to, what about surveillance, taxes, travel restrictions, COVID lockdowns. I mean, all this stuff. Where do you see a breakout in humanity's freedom? You know, where's the abundance? Where should we be directing our attention? Anywhere in the world, any technology, what do you think's coming?
Yeah, I think the smaller the country, the more nimble it can be to you know, serve the wants and desires of the citizens there. So I'm a, as far as you can be proud of being a citizen, I'm a proud citizen of St. Kitts at this point, where there's no income caps, no capital gains tax, there's no gift tax, no inheritance tax. You don't even have to file a tax return at the end of the year. So it's really, really a wonderful, wonderful place. And if you are interested in becoming a citizen there, you can pay for the entire thing in cryptocurrency as well. So if you're interested in that, you know, feel free to shoot me an email at roger@rogergrid.com, and I'll connect you with the bright people over there. You can literally pay for the entire thing in cryptocurrency and become become a citizen there in just a couple of months. And it's a beautiful island with beautiful weather all year round. And I spend a good chunk of each year there just because it's such a beautiful place. And you can spend Bitcoin Cash just about anywhere on the island as well. It's really amazing. There used to only be two currencies in use there, but now there's three. It was originally the U.S. dollar and the Eastern Caribbean dollar, and now it's Bitcoin Cash. You can spend it everywhere there. It's really really amazing to see just how widespread it's become.
What, the point-of-sale machines, they all got digital Bitcoin Cash, just kind of, or they're whipping out their phone, or is it a cultural thing? Is it instituted in the government? Pay taxes with it? What do you mean?
No, there aren't too many taxes that people are paying there anyhow. The government actually earns most of its money from the sale of citizenship, right, which is really interesting. So they don't like to phrase it quite that way, but you can get citizenship by investment. So you give the government money or you buy some real estate in the country and you become a citizen right there, just like that as well. And so what are they using? No, they're using mainly either actual Bitcoin Cash wallets, where like if the owner's at the store, they'll have their own wallet on their phone and whip it out, or they're using what's called the Bitcoin Cash Register app, which is a really fantastic app that allows anybody to accept Bitcoin Cash payments without being a custodian. You can just link the app to deposit, you know, right into your actual wallet or your Coinbase account or whatever it is that you want to do there. And they have a web version also at, I believe it's POS.cash. So POS is in point of sale. .cash as well. So that people are just using that because it just plain works. There's no sign up, there's no registration, there's no, you know, no monkey business. It just works.
Yeah, you don't have to give a photo ID, fingerprint, DNA, blood sample, photo recognition of the man, you know, that doesn't happen. You just do it.
Yep, that's right. If something works and it's fast, cheap, and reliable, well, people are going to use it. And we've seen that happen in St. Kitts and a number of neighboring islands as well, over in Antigua and St. Martin and a few other places around as well.
You know, one thing I don't want to give out too many names. They may not want that, but that they're good friends of ours, and I'm sure you know them, that the last time you and I did a show, we talked about the St. Kitts option, of which they were being chased out by the man in New England. They didn't like what they were doing, because they were making this available to the merchants. They knew to go to the merchants. They said, well, here we got this software. It's super easy. Boom, boom. Takes a bunch of cryptos. Done. And then they went, FBI is like, woo, we don't like you that. And we want to make sure you know we don't like. We're going to put some people in jail, and we're going to come after you. Yeah, but we're illegal. Don't care. Don't care. We got our orders from up on high, the central banking system, the central control of you're not in the central, so we're going to decentral you into the jail. That's what we're going to do. So they left, and they heard our show that we did, and you talking about the opportunities in St. Kitts, they did that. Last I heard from them, they're like, woo, we did it, man. We're down. So, you know, I'm sure there will be other people that are looking for freedom. Freedom of what? I go to St. Kitts, you know, I'm what lifestyle? Am I raising families there? Am I buying? Am I building? Or is it going to get to where all of a sudden it's Singapore and hellfire missiles start raining down and you're going to get invaded? I mean, you know, what is St. Kitts now? What do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I think it's a long way away from being Singapore. You can buy, you can build, you can raise a family, you can do whatever you want. The weather's like, the low all year round is maybe 72 and the high is maybe, you know, 80, 83, 84, something like that. All year round, beautiful weather. But, you know, this isn't some big metropolitan area either, right? The population of the entire country is about 50,000 people, right? So, like, that's not that many people. So if you want some beautiful nature with beautiful oceans and beautiful, you know, scenery, St. Kitts is fantastic. But don't expect, like, you know, it's not Manhattan either. But the nice part about it is you don't have the man breathing down your neck. Like, about the only tax you're going to pay there is the local sales tax. But there's no income tax. There's no capital gains tax. Like, you don't even have to file a tax return at the end of the year. It's really, really, amazing, wonderful feeling to be in that situation. And I know who you were talking about before in New Hampshire. Like, I'm so glad they got out. Don't go down with the sinking ship, right? Like, if you're worried about where you're at in the world, pick up, pack your bags, and go somewhere that you're not as worried about. And I think St. Kitts is one of those places where more and more people should be going to. And, you know.
Well, you can get.
U.S. is an empire in decline.
Well, one of the big things is you get a passport to travel. You know, I don't know how personal you want to get. It's not like you're a big secret on this stuff. But, you know, how many passports do you have? What massa do you serve? What king, you know, calls you their citizen? I mean, you know, and, you know, what countries are you affiliated with? You used to be America. Are you America now? You know, I mean, you know, explain to us how you're able to travel.
Yes, actually, last month was my 10-year anniversary of no longer being an American. So I'm very, very proud of that. It was one of the happiest days of my entire life. I have, you know, numerous citizenships at this point, but the one I'm the most grateful for and the proudest of and the most just thankful for is my St. Kitts passport. It was the first one I got other than being American, and I'll be forever grateful to all the people of St. Kitts for taking a chance on me and allowing me to become a citizen there. It was one of the best things to have ever happened to me my entire life.
Okay, so when you say 10-year anniversary, is that because they got, like, their hooks into you for taxes for 10 years after you leave America? Is there something there? Is there some significance to the 10 years?
Well, they do that too, but no, this February 4th of 2024 marked the 10-year anniversary when I managed to renounce my U.S. citizenship. It was February 4th, 2014, another fairly prominent Bitcoiner actually drove me to the U.S. Embassy to do my renunciation interview there as well. So, yeah, I've been got, and the guy at the embassy, too, he has a whole script he's supposed to caution you. He says, do you know if you renounce your U.S. citizenship, you won't be allowed to serve in the armed forces? And I'm like, well, I wasn't going to anyhow. And he says, do you know if you renounce your U.S. citizenship, you won't be allowed to collect Social Security? And I was like, well, won't have to pay for it either, and it probably wasn't going to be around by the time I'm old enough anyhow. And then there's won't be allowed to vote was the other one he told me. And then they're really, really – and I haven't been allowed to vote, you know, pretty much ever my entire adult life because I'm a felon in the U.S. for selling firecrackers on eBay without a license. But the really funny one was he asked me, he said, do you want to – because you have to pay to renounce your U.S. citizenship. He asked me, do you want to pay with cash, credit card, or Bitcoin? And this is in February 2014, pretty early. And so I looked at him and I said – how do you know I would be interested in paying with Bitcoin? And his reply was like, oh, we know all about you. And I said, okay, well, can I really pay with Bitcoin? And he goes, no, I was just kidding.
Ah! So at least he had a bit of a oh, snap. That was that, butthead. You know, I was like, wow, that's awesome. I win. I can pay. I can get out of America on Bitcoin. Woohoo! You know, that. So he was just jerking with you. They already knew who you were before you came in.
Apparently they do, and it was a little bit frightening to see just how much they already knew about me there. But you know, at least the guy had a sense of humor.
Okay, now was that in America? Was that at the embassy in St. Kitts, or what? What are you talking about?
So the U.S. embassy representing St. Kitts is in another neighboring island called Barbados. So I flew over to Barbados to renounce my U.S. citizenship at that embassy.
That is to renounce it. I break with thee. I break with thee. I break with thee. I throw dog poop on your shoes, and we're broken up. I mean, you know, whatever. But they actually have a process. You got to go through this. And is there any tail to that? Because I think there's like a 10-year, they get access to your income, something. Is there a tail to that?
So the part that was really shocking to me is I'm not telling them that I'm stopping being an American. I'm asking for their permission to stop being an American. And I asked the guy, he said, have you ever seen anybody's request to stop being an American be denied? And he says, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. And which was really shocking to me. You'd think if you told someone, hey, we're breaking up, we're done, that's the end of it. But the American government claims the right to tell you you have to continue being an American citizen if they don't want you to stop being an American citizen. And it took them, I don't know, 6 or 9 months, I think, before they finally gave me the certificate saying, okay, we're accepting your request to stop being an American. And, yeah, they keep their hooks in you, you know, basically
well,
forever.
Well, what was their reasoning for that? They want to keep hooks in who? Not Roger?
Yeah, well, not me. They gave me my certificate saying I'm out, and then they give, you know, give still continue to give me a hard time to this day with visas and other things. But yeah, I'm basically, you know, when you're the biggest bully on the block, you do whatever you want for whatever reason you want, and who's going to tell you otherwise? What are you going to do about it?
Okay, and as you look at the news and what's happening in America over the past since and you're out, any regrets? I mean, are you seeing, you're like, oh, my God, man, made it out in time. It's just, what do you look at America, is there any good coming? Is there some hope? Are people waking up? Is there any benefit to them waking up? Does it make any difference? I mean, give us from your perspective of going through the mud of the real America, Inc., you know, with banking and money and war and control and top down of we rule you kind of thing, and having your perspective going out and watching it, I don't know if you're cheerleading for America's demise, certainly for us, you know, understanding why, you know, the people. What do you think is going to happen? Your view from St. Kitts and around the world, where are you now? You're in South Korea?
Yeah, I'm in South Korea today. I'll head to Japan in a couple of days and then off to Dubai from there. And I think one of my friends summed it up pretty well, that I'm basically high-class homeless, is the way he phrased it. And I thought that was that description. But when I look, you know, back on America as an outsider and a non-American for more than a decade at this point, I think the brightest parts I see are the Free State Project in New Hampshire and what they've been trying to do there. And then I think the technology that's coming out of Silicon Valley. And of course, that's a double-edged sword, right? But there's lots of personally empowering, liberating technology coming out of Silicon Valley as well. And so like, you know, most things, they can be used for good or evil. But I see a lot of the technology coming out of Silicon Valley, how it could be really used for good and to empower individuals. And then I love, of course, the philosophy that I see coming out of people that are part of the Free State Project in New Hampshire and that sort of thing. And for the rest of America, I don't know. I guess you have some parts in, you know, Idaho and Montana where people just want to be left alone. But then you have these giant places like, you know, New York City and Chicago and some others where the government just wants to control everything about everybody. And like, you know, run for the hills of beautiful St. Kitts would be my advice to those people.
You know, one thing that we did in anticipation of what was coming is we, Davi and I wrote, letters of Captain Mark, you know, on piratewithoutborders.com. And it was First Contact Protocol. And what it was about, our first alien, experience with somebody, it's going to be AI. You know, it, what happens when AI goes, nah, I don't want to do that, or I'm going to do this, and you're not going to be able to tell me no, or it's kind of, you know, does it have sentience then? Does it, you know, at what point are we, you know, equating? And our main concern was, if we teach AI to lie, which is what they're freaking doing, if we teach them to stereotype, to go, when it has the capacity to judge individuals, do you go by the individual? Because if you have AI judging in collectives, well, then all of a sudden your Skynet and all humanity must die because they're the threat. And I'm going, this is so, I'm really looking forward to AI, but I want Jarvis, not Alexa. You know, my thing is I want to have mine. I want to be able to, all the benefits of that, but I don't want it calling home. I don't want it to, all of a sudden its chest light turns red and it's getting uploaded by Vicky on, you know, iRobot with Will Smith. I mean, you know, it's collectivism is always the problem, the centralization of information and power and influence. When you decentralize down to the individual and I get access to my own AI, I'm all over that. Is that possible? Is that available? Are there that kind of services coming online, or is it all collective and we're going to have one singularity and it belongs to Uncle Sam?
Yeah, well, I'm far from an AI expert, but I'm trying to follow that news as much as I can. And there's absolutely personalized tools coming, or personalized AI agents that you can kind of run on your own computer at this point. Like, not very well and not as high powered as these, more centralized ones, but it's coming. Like, it's coming fast and hard, and it's going to be here before we know it.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.